Jeff Conant is an independent journalist covering environmental justice, ecological sanitation, water privatization, and resource colonization issues. He's the lead author of a widely translated popular education manual, A Community Guide to Environmental Health. He explains to us how ecological toilets work. Warning to parents. At times, Jeff does refer to stool as S-H-I-T. Jeff, welcome to Naging Now.
Thanks.
You're kind of an expert in toilets.
I use them. I have used them since I was 3. And I actually wrote and coordinated a book called A Community Guide to Environmental Health, which is a popular education guide to how communities around the world do and can manage our resources, our environments, in ways that are healthy and sustainable. And as part of this book, I researched toilets, compost toilets, dry toilets, different kinds of sanitation systems in several countries around the world in order to help think through the question of what works for people and for the environment.
That's great. That was through the Hesperian Foundation.
Yep.
Yeah. They do good work. So tell us about toilets and, you know, what are our options?
Well, Dr. JC, we have a number of options. Amazingly enough, we're here in California in the U.S. What's happened with Western industrial development is that we believe here in the quote-unquote first world that the only dignified, useful, healthful, reasonable toilet to use is an indoor flush toilet where we pee and poo into water, and that water goes through pipes to a sewage treatment plant, and then the material is taken out and the water is treated and so on. Turns out that that is a very complicated, expensive, kind of roundabout way to deal with the problem. And when I began to research the question of toilets around the world, I was specifically interested in compost toilets and ecological sanitation systems where we can cut out the middleman and figure out the best way, the lowest cost way, the most ecological way, the simplest, most low-tech way to deal with human waste. And it turns out that the way to do that is to use a hole in the ground.
Awesome. Yes, I agree. I mean, it's a little bit illogical to take our human waste and put it into perfectly clean water and then send it off to another place to have the now soiled water become clean again. It's very illogical and labor-intensive and not cost-effective. So tell us about the hole in the ground.
The hole in the ground. It's very complicated route we have to take to get to the hole in the ground. Essentially, a very common toilet used around the world is the basic pit toilet, which is literally a deep hole in the ground. That has some real problems, namely that you risk contaminating the water table when you poo and pee into a deep hole in the ground without regard for what happens there afterwards.
And it also doesn't smell very nice.
Right. Well, what's happening is the shit essentially isn't being eaten by microbes because you're not putting anything in there that allows it to be digested, and it stagnates and it stinks.
Yeah, basically the bacteria still needs some more food to continue to grow and to multiply, so it needs some other input.
Mm-hmm. And so to turn a simple pit toilet into a compost toilet, you throw some straw, some sawdust, some cellulosic material, some dry carbon in there with every use, and that gives the microbes something to eat. But in a deep pit toilet, there's just too much volume to generally deal with, and you still risk contaminating the groundwater. So in a compost toilet, what you do is you have a sealed chamber and you remove the waste either, you know, as it's being composted or after it's been thoroughly composted. And then there's a whole other kind of toilet, which is a dry toilet, where rather than adding carbon, you add lime or ash or some other kind of desiccating material that does not give the microbes something to eat, but rather desiccates it, dries it out, and thereby extracts the water from any of the potential pathogens that are in there and kills them that way.
So what I'm hearing you say is that a composting toilet is a further modification on a pit toilet, and that there are two types. One you're calling a composting toilet, and the other one you're calling a dry toilet.
And I think they're generally categorized as types of ecological toilets. One is composting. In other words, there's a biological process happening where you're making compost. And the other is called a dry toilet. That's the standard name. So they're both considered ecological because they are taking advantage of ecological cycles rather than enslaving the water or contaminating the water.
Great. Okay, so we're talking about ecological toilets, and there are two types of ecological toilets. The composting toilet and the dry toilet.
Yes.
Okay, can you tell us a little bit more about the details of the composting toilet? How does it work?
How does it work?
It's still a wet process.
The wet-dry question is important here because in a compost toilet, you poo and pee.
Into the same chamber.
The same chamber. So we're talking about mixed waste. And this is important because we essentially, in a compost toilet, you pee and you poo. So you're mixing those two. In a dry toilet, you actually separate your pee and your poo. And that sounds like it could be complicated, but actually there are toilet seats that are designed to do this that are pretty widely used in some places.
How do they do that?
Well, if you think about it, you pee forward and you poo downward, men and women both. And so it's actually not that hard to design a toilet seat where your pee goes in one place and your poo goes in another, or you design it such that you only use it when you poo and you can urinate elsewhere. This is an important distinction because mixed waste is a major problem, and that's one of the issues with standard Western industrial sanitation systems or sewage systems. You're taking dry and wet waste and you're mixing it with water and you're mixing it with whatever else is in that water, antibiotics, chemicals, paint thinner, you know.
Cleaning detergents.
Cleaning, all of that stuff. Anyway, that's a whole other issue. So in a compost toilet, over time, the material just starts to break down in compost, and either you leave it in there until it's thoroughly composted, or you can take out the material after it's been 6 months, a year, depends on the size of the chamber and the number of people using it. And often what happens then is you'll continue composting it for a year or two, so you can add it to a compost pile where you've got crop wastes and food wastes and all that. You can compost it by itself. Eventually, after a year or two, I believe are the kind of standards, all of the pathogens in that waste will have died, and then you can mix it into soil for planting.
So you can use it as manure?
Yeah. In fact, it's called humanure.
Nice.
There's a great book called The Humanure Handbook. That's one of the Bibles of this question.
Excellent. This is good reading material while you're using the chamber.
Yeah. It's a very simple system, and it seems obscure because it's become very uncommon, especially in the West, and because there's a kind of a social stigma to not using a flush toilet, because there's a huge social stigma to handling human waste. With the compost toilet, if it's well designed, if it's well ventilated, if you're adding enough cellulosic material, then the waste breaks down and it doesn't smell. It doesn't even resemble human waste. It resembles compost.
I was going to ask about that because that is a very common question. What about the smell?
Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, with any toilet system, you know, if it's not functioning right, if it's not well ventilated, if you're not adding enough material, it'll smell. But I've used a lot of compost toilets and one that works well, you know, which is not complicated. It just needs to be well built and maintained. And this is one of the questions is regular maintenance. It'll smell kind of sweet and earthy like compost.
Nice. I've also seen diagrams of composting toilets where there is kind of a vent that goes up to the roof to vent out some of the carbon dioxide and perhaps the odors as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an important part of it, is that allows air to flow through. And there's a design of a pit toilet that's called a ventilated improved pit toilet, which is actually designed on the model of the termites mound, where basically the hot air in the toilet chamber rises through the pipe, and that essentially draws air through it. It draws air from the toilet seat down into the chamber and up through the ventilation pipe, and it takes out any smells.
So basically what I'm hearing is that it's actually very safe to use human waste that has been treated through composting as fertilizer for human crops, and that you're protecting the groundwater by actually having a sealed chamber. It's not like just a regular hole in the ground where it's just dirt. You actually have some cement or ceramic implement that you're putting your waste into.
Or wood. And in fact, if you know where your water table is and you know where your drinking water well or pipes are, you can actually build a compost toilet that is unsealed. You don't want to do this on a large scale in a highly populated area, for example. In fact, the pathogen question is, it's not as deadly and dangerous as we may think. There are, of course, a couple of pathogens. Hepatitis A, roundworm is a very common one around the world, that can live for long periods in waste if it's not basically given enough heat, which is what compost naturally does. A good compost will heat up hot enough over enough time to kill those pathogens. So it's not to say that there's no risk, but it is to understand the relative risk. If you're using a compost toilet in, say, a family compound, if nobody there has hepatitis A or roundworm, then those are not risks. So you can put that waste right on your food and, you know, not on your food, but on your soil and grow crops. Whereas, you know, if you don't know who's using it and, there could be pathogens coming in, you want to be much more careful with the way you handle it.
Or let it compost for a longer period of time.
Yeah, which is essentially what I mean. You know, compost it in a place where it's well known and well marked and give it a year, 2 years, and make sure that the compost heats up sufficiently so that everything in it dies.
So there's a couple practical questions about who gets to empty the chamber, because I think the attraction of the current system that we use in the Western world is that you flush it down and you don't have to think about it, and somebody else has to deal with it. And the only real quibble is who gets to clean the toilet in the bathroom, and then that's it. Like, it's a public work that we pay taxes for somebody else to do that work of managing our human waste. So, but in a composting toilet, that's an issue of who gets to empty the chamber and where does it go. And then the other part of it is also, how do you clean the upper portion of the toilet without introducing chemicals and other things that might destroy the composting process?
Right. And this is where it becomes a cultural issue and even a political issue. There's probably a good reason why the culture that favors compost toilets is the same culture that favors collective living and essentially hippie culture, because there you've got people who reject Western values of individualism and the degradation of labor. Because what has happened traditionally, before we had waterborne sewage, or what we call flush and forget systems, you had people emptying out toilets. So in India, it was the Dalit class for hundreds, thousands of years. And this is part of where the word untouchable actually comes from, is because these were people, their role in society is to handle human waste. Well, that's not, from an ethical, from a moral standpoint, certainly from my cultural perspective, we can get beyond that. We don't need to enslave people in that way. And so one of the very important pieces of a compost toilet system is the management, governance, you could even say, is transparent agreements among the people using it to clean the toilet together, and not have it be based on some social hierarchy, whether it's gender, whether it's class, which is usually how those things fall out. And this is really where the compost toilet becomes not just ecological, but socially revolutionary. It's all about horizontal social relations. It's about people, you know, working together to clean the damn toilet, and not about abusing and exploiting water resources, and not about abusing and exploiting people. It's actually about working in harmony with nature.
Right. I mean, we all clean our own body after we eliminate our waste, but we're reluctant to then handle it once it's left our body.
The other question you asked is about cleaning the toilet in terms of chemicals. Will that harm? I mean, this is another Western industrial idea, is that we need ammonia, we need bleach, we need some chemicals that we don't even know what they are to clean. Well, it turns out you can use vinegar, you can use lemon, you can use hot water and soap.
So will the soap or the vinegar or the lemon interfere with the composting process?
If you doused your compost in vinegar, it would probably kill some of the beneficial bugs that you want in there, but no.
Great. And can you explain a little bit more how the dry toilet works?
Yes, indeed. When I started researching compost toilets, I thought I was talking about compost toilets, and I had several United Nations-affiliated global sanitation experts correct me, saying, you're not talking about compost toilets, you're talking about ecological toilets. And the most commonly used one around the world is the dry toilet. There are several different kinds of models, but basically a shallow pit, say 2-3 feet deep, maybe a little deeper, not lined on the bottom. Because when it's shallow, you ideally aren't running the risk of getting in contact with the water table. With some of them, you can poo and pee in there, and you throw enough dry material in, ashes or lime, that desiccates the material. And after it's full, you cover it with soil, and you leave it for a while, and 6 months, a year later, it's dried out, if no water is getting into it.
What about the pee?
Okay, that will dry out over time if you're adding enough dry material and if you're in a dry environment. I, for example, lived in New Mexico for a couple of years, and I made one of these, and it was amazing how quickly, you know, there are a lot of places in the world where it is so dry that the dryness of the air is actually an asset to this kind of operation. But there's also, and this may sound strange, but there's a kind of a toilet seat that was designed in central Mexico that's being used throughout Latin America that is called a urine-separating seat, where you basically have a division and the pee goes forward and goes into a pipe that goes into a either a closed container or directly into the soil, because pee carries very few pathogens.
In a normal healthy person, urine is sterile.
Yeah, yeah. And so then the poo goes into a different chamber. In one of the ones that I've built, I actually used the buckets that the U.S. Postal Service uses to deliver the mail. That's an aside. But you can use a plastic bin, and you throw enough dry matter on top of it that when you pull it out, you have like a door in the back of the chamber, and you pull that out. And I would just literally bury that about 2 feet deep under my garden soil, and then put soil on top of it and grow vegetables in it.
Are there any pathogens to consider in the dry toilet?
The same ones. I mean, again, roundworm, Ascaris. Takes about a year for that to die in a completely desiccated environment, and hepatitis A, but that will die as well.
So either way, whether you're using a dry toilet or a composting toilet, you should let it sit for about a year before you put it on your agricultural land.
Yeah, and there are a lot of books on this where, you know, I mean, if you really want to do this right, you could even, you know, have a thermometer and measure your, take the temperature of your compost pile. But I think the standard is you let it sit for a year or so and make sure that that compost is heating up the way a good compost pile should.
The waste in a dry toilet will also heat up?
Right. No, it won't. What that will do will just desiccate. And in fact, it loses huge amounts of volume. You'll have a bin full, and that will reduce by about 2/3 and just turn into dry powder. I actually first learned something about this when I visited the head of water and sanitation at the United Nations Development Program in his office at the UN in New York. And on his bookshelf, he had a little jar filled with what looked like dust, and it was dried up shit from a village that he had worked in Tanzania years before.
His own?
His own may have been mixed in there. We didn't get into particulars.
I want to ask you about the practicality of using ecological toilets for high-density living, particularly urban areas where we have multiple units in a building or even high-rise buildings.
Yeah, that's where you get huge challenges. It's not always appropriate. It may not be. There are multi-story buildings in Yemen, actually, which have hundreds of years old dry toilet systems. And this is a really interesting case. You'll have a toilet on the third floor of a building, and the waste goes down a pipe into a chamber that's periodically emptied out. And it's just like here. I mean, you live on the 27th floor of a building here and have a sewage system. The water is taking your sewage out, and
so what's the big difference? Not a big difference, except that you don't have the water involved.
Right. And one of the things, I mean, sewage is basically built on a number of illusions. And one of those is we believe that it's going to be treated somewhere down the line. In the U.S., for the most part, that's true. But in many places around the world, in Latin America, there are actually very few sewage treatment plants. So even if you're staying in a high-rise luxury hotel in Cancun, you use the toilet, that sewage goes out to the ocean. In a lot of places, it goes to, you know, the rivers, the bays, it goes to waste ponds.
That's why they tell you don't drink the water.
Right. And that's why there's epidemic diarrheal issues.
Cholera, typhoid, etc.
All of that. Is it going to be any worse to develop what they call on-site sanitation systems, meaning a compost or dry toilet system for, you know, a very dense populated area? Or is it better to have all of those people shitting in the water and then dumping it on people who are living downstream? And that's usually, you know, the poorest people. This is all around the world. You've got sewage running into neighborhoods that are, you know, informal settlements that are slums. That's part of why you have epidemic diarrheal diseases.
This is so interesting and really informative, and a lot of the misconceptions around ecological toilets have been clarified. Is there anything else you want to add?
One of the things that I think is important to understand when we think ecologically, whether we're talking about toilet systems, whether we're talking about farming systems, whether we're talking about building systems, is that there's no one silver bullet solution. You need a diverse array of options. So one of the reasons I think people may assume that compost toilets are just a hippie fantasy or something like this, or they're not appropriate, is because they're not always appropriate in every situation, just like sewage systems aren't always appropriate in every situation. So for me, that is the essence of ecological thinking. It's place-based, and it's built on an understanding of diverse ecosystemic needs.
Great. Thank you so much, Jeff. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. This is a fabulous conversation that you're getting going.
Jeff Conant, author and international environmental justice activist in Oakland, California. If you'd like to share your thoughts about or experiences with ecological toilets, feel free to comment on our website at www.neijingnow.org or on our Facebook page for Neijing Now. Cut the ticket,